In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen.
Scripture is full of stories about unlikely people being asked to do extraordinary things. As people of faith, we can never take refuge in the comfortable thought that we aren't special or gifted, because God seems to specialize in calling the least likely people and then making them ready or qualified only after the call has been extended and they have been assigned a task. Think of Moses, Jacob, Isaiah, Saul, who became Paul. All of them had obvious drawbacks and flaws to the calls that came to them. The story of Joseph, Mary's husband, is one of the most unlikely and the strangest of all the calls. And we have to piece together a picture of Joseph from various little mentions in the Gospels. There are just bits and pieces here and there. He's not mentioned at all in the Gospel of Mark. In John, we hear references to Jesus as the son of Joseph. That's the only mention that Joseph gets. Most of it comes in Matthew and Luke, the two Gospels that give us nativity stories, stories of Jesus in his childhood. And we gather from these bits and pieces that Joseph is a carpenter from a distinguished family, the family and lineage of David, we're told, and he lives in Nazareth. He is, we're told, a righteous man, i.e., he's observant of the law of Moses. He's a good Jew. He does the right thing. And when Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant before they were completely married, and there were several stages to marriage in those days, Joseph would have been perfectly justified in divorcing Mary and in publicly disgracing her. He could almost have had an argument for having her stoned to death for adultery. Nobody would have thought any the worse of Joseph. After all, he had a family reputation to uphold. And then there was a question of personal respect. What would people think of a man who took to marriage a woman who was already pregnant? There was also the question of his ability to pass on his name, his property, his heritage to his own descendants if another child was born before his own. Joseph was a carpenter. He worked with his hands. He probably wasn't given to flights of fancy or eloquence. He never speaks in Scripture. We don't have any words of Joseph. So we think of him as the strong, silent type, the man who shows his devotion in action rather than words. Why would this man be called to extraordinary ministry? Why would he be called, above all others, to be the protector of our Messiah? Well, God knows our hearts, and God knew that Joseph's heart was good, that Joseph was a good and compassionate man. God trusted Joseph to take care of this child. And Joseph returned the compliment, trusting God, when the call came. Matthew emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit in the birth of Jesus. He mentions it twice in that short passage we just heard Ben read. There's no question as to the origin of this child. The prophecy that we heard in the Old Testament reading, the Isaiah reading, speaks of a young woman bearing a son to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now the New Testament quotation from Isaiah that you heard changes young woman to virgin. This was actually a mistake of the Jewish scholars who translated the Hebrew scriptures into Greek about 3 centuries before Matthew wrote his gospel. Translators used a Greek word that means virgin. Now, why would they do that? Scholars today suggest that the translators saw the young woman as a metaphor for Israel. Israel, the country, the bride of God. And they wanted to portray Israel as pure and worthy of God. They expected a virtuous Israel to give birth to the Messiah. So they emphasized that point. And thereby, they created a major stumbling block, perhaps even a major distraction for Christians across the centuries and for critics of Christianity from that day to this, as we continue to mull over the virgin birth. Anyway, Joseph had a reasonable expectation of a virginal fiancé, that we can believe. And when he was disappointed, he could reasonably be expected to cancel the contract. Damaged goods, good reason to back away. But he didn't. The goodness in Joseph won the struggle after that dream of the angel. And he generously took Mary and the child under his protection. And we can see from the end of that gospel reading that he cherished Mary and cared for her gently until after the child was born. Joseph didn't have to do that. And that's the powerful message of this gospel story for me. Joseph did more than anyone might have expected of him. He wouldn't have been condemned for divorcing her, but he went beyond the law. He did something he didn't have to do because he heard God's call to do it, and because it was the loving and compassionate thing to do. He trusted that it was God speaking to him, and that God would take care of them all. Joseph's goodness of heart had gigantic consequences. Without his obedience and trust and generosity, our salvation would never have been procured, to use the old language. Joseph was an ordinary man, but he was a righteous man. He was right with God. And that righteousness allowed him to recognize the truth when he heard it, in spite of all that his culture and community suggested. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, Joseph recognized the truth and remained faithful to the truth, no matter what the consequences. And so the world was changed. God with us. Emmanuel was born. It could happen to any of us. We are ordinary people. We're faithful to God. We're good at heart. Any one of us might be called to a task that would do great things for the kingdom of God. Any one of us is called. I'm quite sure that Joseph didn't feel qualified already for the great responsibility that he was called to, but he found the grace to listen and to believe, to trust, and to say yes. May God grant each of us the same grace. Amen.